have Brother Bruce come up. I have some business to take care of. Oh, birthdays for October. I'm telling you, really hitting the preacher in the pocketbook here in October, parents. But I'm glad I'm not a grandparent at Christmas time. Amen. I'm mostly looking over here. Mostly looking over here in this area. But man, you think just like, oh, praise the Lord. You're having another one? Oh, nice. Oh, twins. Oh, two more. Yeah. Amen, brother. Lily Garner, you had a birthday this month? Right. Yeah, I know. Here, come on up. We made a run to Dairy Queen, too, kiddos. So there's Dairy Queen in there. Mrs. Sieber, your birthday's this month? And then an anniversary? In December. It's coming up. Amen. Amen, amen. Hurry, 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 hurry. There's coffee in there, too.
Oh, my brother
hooked
me up with coffee.
Oh, good. Oh, that's a good thing. All right. Brothers are good. Josh Sieber. Amen. That's you. Amen. I can blame him for all kinds of stuff. He'd be like, your generation. I think it's more coffee. But, amen. Did Brother Rich make it? No. No, Brother Rich. We'll hold yours for you, Brother Rich. Brother Jesse's not here tonight. He'll be back. I'll get these guys on Wednesday. Brother Tony. Brother Tony. Amen. That's right. That's right.
I'm 18. I'm not lying. That's terrible.
Amen. Is Julia here? Miss Julia. Aww. All right. It's okay. She don't have to. You don't have to. It's okay. I don't want her to hate me. I don't. No complexes. You know. I'll be like, I didn't like you from like what was she's. How old is she? What was her birthday? 3? From 3 to 9, I was afraid of you, and I don't want that, so it's okay. I got something for you if you want it. Do you want no? All right. My time's getting downhill, but okay. We'll wait. I'll get it when the crowd's smaller. All right. See, this is what happens when you leave the church. Don Fairbanks, his name's on the list. I told Chris that the anniversary coming up. I said, if they just would have stayed. Think about the benefits, people. No, I just kidding. But anyways, I'll have to mail him. And Miss Mion's doing better, by the way. So thank you for praying for them. Miss Mary, again. Amen. You don't have to come up if you don't want to. I'll find you unless you want to come up. That's how it works, young people. Be like, nah, I'll wait. Okay, you're fine. You find me. Amen. And then I know. Hannah Sarvers is her birthday is written in here, 10-10. She's same as Lily. And also is not, little Abby's 10-10 too. So we'll have to catch them when they're here. So we have just about as many absentee birthdays as presentee birthdays. But that's good. And no anniversaries this month. No big hitters. And next month. Well, no. You're supposed to be using it this month, though. Oh, okay, good. Oh, this week. Okay, yeah. See, that's one thing I'm actually prepared for, and it was Miss Garner's idea anyhow. So, we do have a gift bag for our missionaries that are with us, so this is filled with all kinds of good stuff, and so I'll leave that under here, that way you can take it whenever, it's not a whatever, but it's in here, and very excited to have the Stewarts with us. Been on the road for 4 years. That's a long time, okay? That's a long time. Still just faithfully doing it. Got to get there. Why? Because of the message this morning. So that's not going to change. So now it's just like, we just got to get it. Got the COVID. I felt for missionaries when the COVID thing happened. Because evangelists, it's like, you got to move. You just have to. And nothing's moving. So it's like, oh, but the Lord's blessed in awesome ways. And so excited to hear Brother Bruce preach again tonight. So would you come preach to us, brother?
Thank you very much. Well, it's been a blessing. Thank you, church, for your wonderful hospitality, for everything you guys have done. This is our last meeting in Alaska, and I'm kind of sad to go back down to the lower 48. Yeah. I said this morning, I said, you know, it's like, I told Pastor at lunch, it's you come here and you feel like they're way far away. Yeah, they're great. But then it's like, well, is Alaska really that great a place? I'm like, I talk to a lot of people, and most of them are from the lower 48, move up here and stay up here. There's only one gentleman I talked to. He did this. He came back. He can't stand Alaska. But he said, God wants me here in Alaska, and I am just still fighting him over this. Yeah, well, he's still in Alaska. So you got one grumpy man out. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's perfectly fine. I want to do thank you, though. We've really appreciated all that you've done for us. We appreciate the hospitality that you show all your missionaries. COVID was not easy. I don't think COVID was easy on anybody. But God has been faithful, has he not? He is faithful. The psalmist says, I have not yet seen the faithful beg for bread. We've not had to beg for bread, which we're very thankful for. You can obviously tell I have not missed very many meals. But just on behalf of God's greatness, when we were looking at going into this year, we were looking at about $10,000 of personal debt due to medical bills for our daughter. Our daughter was born 6 weeks premature and had to spend 15 days in a NICU. And so just struggling with, you know, insurance company won't cover this, it won't cover that, then how are we going to pay for this bill? How do we pay that? And of course they don't tell you for like 9 months until they bill you, and then it's like, where'd this come from? You know, it's like, and you're just praying, Lord, please let there not be another bill floating off in mail somewhere. And all of that gone into. So we were looking at coming into 2020, $10,000 in debt. And we took some counsel. We looked at some different things. And God actually provided all of it outside of supporting churches. So we didn't have to send an emergency letter to our supporting churches or to friends or to family or anyone. God just, boom, taken care of. Now move on. And we actually went into this whole corona thing with a financial buffer. And so God is to be praised for that. Again, I know this has been hard on everybody, but God has been good to us. And so I've been very thankful and very just thankful. There's nothing else you can say about it. You know, it's not me. It's not because I'm somebody. It's because he is everything. So you have your Bibles. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. If you get to Matthew 29, you'll have to change your Bibles because mine doesn't have that in it, and I'm confused at what you're reading. This morning we looked at what is the reason that we have missions? Why are we going? And that is to restore the relationship that God had with Adam in the garden. Now, for those of us that are saved, we're going to go to heaven. We're going to spend eternity with him. But you don't have to wait till eternity to start walking with him. You can walk with him today. And as I said, you can have the bread of life, but you can have it with honey too, and oil, and milk. And it can be wonderful if you just spend time with him and get to know him a little bit. So in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this short time that we have. And as we open up your word, as we look at missions from your heart, may you touch our hearts, touch our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this morning we looked at our goal to restore the relationship. Tonight I want to look at how do you do that. So we have our goal, and you know, I work with sign language, sometimes it helps. We have our goal, that's where we want to go. How do we get there? Now, I'm not going to ask quite as many questions as I did this morning. Do not worry. When we start churches here in America, we follow a basic pattern. Normally, you pray about where God wants you. You look for areas that are needful. Then you go and you might look for a church building, or you can look for a storefront or some other place that you can use as a place for corporate gathering, corporate worship. And then you begin to mass canvas your entire neighborhood. You can do cold calls. I've done cold calls for churches. We can put John and Romans on door handles. We can give out special tracts, make flyers for a grand opening Sunday. Sometimes you have to do some renovating. We renovated a bar into a church in Terryville, Connecticut. That was fun and exciting. Nothing gets the news around like trying to convert a bar into a church. And they're like, oh, man, this is... It's like, oh, my goodness, this is where I spend all my Friday nights. Now they want me to spend my Sundays here. Well, you were already spending time there anyway. You might as well just come and hear the Word of God. Don't worry, they weren't still giving drinks. We're just changing something that served for the detriment of mankind, and we made it into the glory of God. And so sometimes you got to do some things like that and do some renovations, and you might want to get a group of singers together. If you have an ensemble, or if you have a college with singers, maybe, I don't know. You just get some people together. You're going to have a big special Sunday and make a big announcement of it. And you really kind of draw everyone up to that first Sunday, and then you just preach the gospel. And they come back and you preach the gospel again. They come back and you preach the gospel again. And then you start your regular services based on, you know, how the Lord leads you from there. You can't quite do that in Africa. One, while everyone has a phone, they don't necessarily have yellow pages or white pages or any other color pages with phone numbers on them. So cold calling is out. You can go out and you can canvass the area, but the westernized idea of building a church, paying a bunch of people, and just start grand opening service, it doesn't work. Well, let me rephrase that. It can work at an appearance, but it doesn't work in the long haul. Does that make sense? Because what happens is you're going to make them jump the gun by about 20 years, and then you're going to come home on furlough, and you're going to come back, and the church is going to be gone. Now, am I saying that there can't be exceptions and different? No, there can be. It's just, by and large, if you set that up, what you've done is you set them up for failure. And that really puts a sour taste in the mouth, and they're probably not going to come back. On top of that, when you go to Africa and you set up a big booming first event, you're going to attract what we would call opportunists. Those are those that are going to come to you seeking to get something. Why? Because that's what they've done for thousands of years. You're the prestigious white man. You have education, you have money, you have all these different things that they want. And I think if I just come and appease the white man, he'll give me what I want. I'm not there to give them anything. What does the Bible say I'm there to do? To teach the Word of God, right? The first word Jesus says, all power is given to me, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That first word is mathetes, means make disciples. You're supposed to make disciples of all nations. A second one, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's a big assignment. That is. I had a college professor. For the final exam, he gave out a study sheet. And at the top of the sheet, it said, besides knowing everything there is to know about the subject covered in this class, besides knowing everything that we've covered in class to like the letter, focus on these things. And he had this. It was a Hebrews class. And we actually had to, without using a Bible, had to outline the entire book of Hebrews verse by memory. I could not do that if you asked me to today. It was by the grace of God that even happened. But suffice it to say, they have expectations. It's not bad to have expectations of people if you're willing to train them to a place where they can actually achieve it. Or if you put them in a place where they can only achieve it with the help of God. Make sense? All right. So when God says, go into all the world, does he think we can do it? Can we do it through his power? Yes. So when he says, can we teach them all things? Yes, we can. We can do it through Christ, which strengthens me. All right? Now, how do I reach the African, at least in his culture, without compromising the scriptures? And we talked a little bit about this, so I'm not radical. I'm not a maverick. I'm just trying to get the gospel to a people in a way that is clear and concise without compromise. Make sense? If I go throw up a tent, have a big meeting, they're going to see me as one of these big brouhaha, fast and furious preachers that's going to come, want an offering, and then leave. The people who are really serious about wanting to know God are not going to come to you in the first 5 years. They're going to stand on the outskirts and watch you to see if you're going to stay. Make sense? Because they've been burned. They've fallen for the quick gambit. They've fallen for it time and time and time again. After a while, you wise up to your own failures. And you're like, oh, here's another one. Let's see how long he lasts. Now, the thing is, you really do want that person because he's wise. He's not just going to jump on board just because it's a fad. But it's going to take time to reach him. The opportunists flock around you like, this is great. That doesn't work. It doesn't. Well, it works, but you're setting yourself up for failure. So, how are we going to do this? First thing is, you need to actually make yourself a part of their life. This takes time, and time is something that is really of the essence, but you need to spend it. You say you've got to spend time wisely, you have to do it really wisely in Africa. Why? Because if you trust the wrong people, you end up eaten. They always ask, some people have asked me, what do they eat? What do they eat there in Gabon? Well, they eat Chinese, they eat Italian, they eat other European, basically anyone slower than them. No, they don't, they're not cannibals anymore. Yeah, they used to be, but not anymore. We thank God. I hope they're not anymore. So what happens is you got to learn from their culture. So Gabonese culture, because it's a melting pot of all these other cultures, one of the things they like to do is the men like to sit around a campfire and talk. That's okay. I've done that many summers. And the women usually gather in an outside place called a kitchen, and they like to talk in the kitchen. That's fine. They talk in kitchens here. That's not very different. What is kind of different is how you have to present yourself at the campfire. You see, you can come in and try to stand near the campfire and just start talking to everybody. That doesn't work. Why? How many of you have ever got a call from someone in India, a call center in India, maybe claiming they have medicine for you or, you know, they have something about your car insurance about to expire or something? You know what I'm talking about, right? You get a call from an Indian call center, and the one thing that goes through your mind is, can I please speak to someone who speaks English? And what do they say? I speak English. I speak English good. They can't see me across the phone, obviously, but that doesn't. It's a silly illustration, but until you know their language and you know their culture, that's how you are to them. And many a missionary, sad to say, they get wiser, but they jump the gun, jump into the field, try to begin to preach, and they've got great people behind them saying, brother, just keep at it, just keep doing it. And they're talking like that Indian guy on the phone. I don't think God really, I mean, God can use them, but I want to give God a better sort of servant. Again, I'm not criticizing other missionaries or what other people have done. I have watched what other people have done and what they wish they would not have done, and I'm planning my course accordingly. So, for those of you who can't see me, I'm going to sit over here a little closer. So the campfire's here. You just sit here, and you listen. You listen to them. You listen to them talk. You listen to them tell their stories. You listen to them tell their tales and the lessons that they've learned and all that goes on among them. Why? You're showing them you can be patient. You're showing them that you care about them, that you're not just here to tell them what they don't know. You're showing them that you're willing to learn from them. You get to see which ones you can trust and which ones you can't trust. You get to learn a lot about the people, a lot about the culture, a lot about the language that you just don't learn in a language school. Can stop you from making a lot of foolish mistakes. I don't have time to tell you some of the funny ones. I mean, the culture is different, right? I mean, how do you reach a culture that believes that love is the greatest sin in all the world? That's not Gabon, that's India. So when a missionary wants to go and reach the Hindu people, Hindus believe that all emotion is sin, and you tell them that God is love. You mean God is the greatest sinner? Well, he died for you. Why? Because he loved you. See? Yeah, he died because of his sin. Did God die because of his sin? No. He died for our sin. He didn't have any sin. He became sin for us on the cross. So he knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him, right? All right. So, you take the time, you sit with them, you talk with them, you get to know them. This can easily take 9 months to a year. That's a long time. In this time, some people have asked me, am I going to ship a huge truckload of stuff over there? I'm debating what exactly I need to ship over there. I've had some wisdom in getting a vehicle shipped over because you can get it a lot cheaper from places like Japan if you ship it over. There is a Toyota factory, so if I get a Toyota, at least parts are available. I want to get something I can actually work on. I mean, you men in here, mechanics, you want to get a vehicle you can work on, not where the engine's sideways and backwards and halfway in the passenger seat. I want something that can be workable. But when you take time to know these people and with them and work with them and, hey, they need a special project done, hey, help them out. Don't just throw money at them. That's a big problem. Don't throw money and American supplies at them. That's not what they need. But you just go there with your own hands and work in the soil with them. Let them see the real you. Let them know they can trust you. You're looking to see, okay, who can I trust, who can I not trust? Let them know that they can trust you. So you're working with them. You're getting to know them, getting to know their family. You say, well, if you come to my house, I have a bunch of American stuff you can look at. Well, that just encourages theft right there. And one of the two biggest things that kick missionaries off the field is robbery. Someone's robbed at gunpoint, causes an emotional strain and emotional stress, and the family leaves. You can alleviate that, first of all, if you take a water bottle when you drink it and you're all done, crush up the bottle and put the cap on so it doesn't reinflate itself, and then put that in your trash. Because now your trash looks like this instead of like this, which implies what? You got stuff. When they come to your house and they have the same food in their cabinet as you have in your cabinet, and you have the same chair that they have at their house, and you have the same... Now, I'm not saying you can't have a little bit nicer stuff. I'm not saying that. But the furniture is all Gabonese made. The food is all from there. You've got pens and pencils and all that, all you can get right there in the market. It shows them, hey, this guy's trying to live like us. He cares about us. Doesn't that? You're already beginning to work with people. Hey, when someone makes you a bed, you got to get it custom made over there. Go watch them do it. I mean, when you're an outsider, you can act like an outsider. It's fantastic. Someone's preparing food, walk back in the kitchen. Just start looking at them, talking, asking questions. Sometimes they laugh. Sometimes they think it's funny. Sometimes they say, hey, you might need to get out of here. You're making a bed. They're making furniture for you. Hey, it's like, oh, that's cool. How do you use this tool? What does this do? You're a learner, right? That's showing that you care. Show them that you're nosy. But you're getting to know them, right? You begin to build a relationship with these people. You don't get that if you ship your bed from Sweden. I don't know, Sweden make anyway. You don't get that if you ship everything over. When you ship everything over, the only relationship you get is with the customs guy. And you don't want that customs guy. You know what I'm saying? He's like, it's better to have the relationships in the marketplace working with the people where they are. So, yeah, there are some comforts you can probably do without. One person asked me, are you going to have air conditioning? I kind of hope so. I mean, it's 90 degrees, 120% humidity. It's going to rain almost every day for 9 months of the year. And, yeah. Now, I can cut some things out. Like, I don't need a television. You know, I have pictures. You could probably see them on our video. Cinder block walls, tin roofs with rocks to keep the roofs on, and all of them got satellite dishes for their satellite television. Because priorities, right? You know, they have to catch their football game. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember we were in 2018, we were in Liberia, and we were in the northern part of Liberia during the World Cup. Me and my mission director, we snuck into one of these, well, I didn't sneak in, we walked in. I mean, sneak in's like, no. We walked in and got a seat at one of these, they have these whole rooms, build these little shacks just to watch the soccer game. So you can imagine these two white guys and about 290 other Africans all crammed in this little room together, like, what team's playing? I think France is. Do you understand what they're saying? No. And you're sitting there watching the soccer game with them. You know, it's fun to watch their expressions. You see these guys? They're sitting down. What do they think this is? And they're just like, let's watch soccer. Let's watch. Why? You get to know them. Get to talk with them. Get to joke with them. When the game ends, you quickly leave. Or if it's going really badly and you can tell, you leave very early. Those who have lived overseas understand soccer is no joke. It's not a joke. I mean, people get hurt. Yeah, I don't want to be hurt. So, but you go and you build relationships with them, don't you? That is how you start a church in Africa. Make sense? When you build up the relationship and you begin to work with them, they begin to trust you, you begin to trust them. Hey, you know what? Sometimes God brings along a hardship in your life to see if you're going to flee and go back to the States. That's just a sad reality of it. But if you stay, it'll catapult your relationships. It'll solidify your relationships with the people. Why? Because you show them you love them. You show them that you care. Now understand, I'm a missionary that's yet to walk into that situation. So you need to pray for me that if that situation comes, that I'm faithful. You need to pray for me. Why? Because I can't be faithful in the flesh. I need the prayers and support of those back here in the States, from the great state of Alaska and those in the lower 48. I need your prayers to help me. Other missionaries need your prayers to help them. That's why we print prayer cards. I mean, it's not just trading cards for preachers. It's so that you know and remember us. Because we are your hands and your arms and your eyes and your feet and your mouth on those open fields. The Bible says there in Matthew 9:37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. Right? Pray. So, that is the one unique thing about starting a church in Africa. If you start a church, you usually start with the Bible studies around the campfires, because then you bring them to your campfire, where now you control the conversation. You control the conversation, but you don't dictate. Make sense? You control. I love questions. God put me there for a reason. So to move around the different topics, but I want to start right from the very beginning. You've got to know who Jesus is, who God is, and God is the creator. That's how he identifies himself. I am the God that created the heavens and the earth. So he identifies the creator, so I got to start all the way back in Genesis and build the foundations all the way up to Jesus Christ. If I start at Jesus Christ, they're not going to really know who Jesus Christ is, and they will just add him to their other gods. They've done that before. So if I just go and start immediately preaching Jesus without them understanding who Jesus is, they're like, oh, that's the white man's God. I'll add him to my gods, and then I'll be good. That's called syncretism, and that happens everywhere, even here in the States, where they take an image of God and use Christianese words, but they're not really worshiping God. They don't know who Jesus is. There are false churches today that claim to be worshiping God, but if Jesus ever showed up, they wouldn't know who he was. You want to know which ones they are? Ask your pastor. All that to say, you have to build the foundations with the people. First in the relationships, and then with the doctrines. They have to understand that God is the creator, that he created man perfect, that man fell into sin, and that man was lost, dying and on his way to hell. But God loved him so much, because he loves you and you, yeah, he loves you too, in the back. He loved the whole world, right? The Bible says that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You don't have to pay money. You don't have to be baptized or drowned. You don't have to have anything. Just faith in Christ alone. That's it. And then you can teach them how to walk with God. So when you get them to the point where they're walking with God on a daily basis, how do you get it so that your ministry keeps going? Because I don't know about you, but I'm not going to live forever. Not forever here. The Bible does say we're going to live forever with him. But I don't want to live forever in a sinful state here in this world. All right? So if I'm not going to be here forever, how do I make sure the ministry carries on after I'm gone? This is a huge question. And I've sat down with some missionaries that have cried because they've been someplace 20 years and they don't know what's going to happen to the church because they've got to leave. That can be very heartbreaking. But it's something you've got to plan for. Because they don't have a lot of Bible colleges and other things that are turning out pastors all the time. Youth pastors and all these other workers all the time. They don't have that. So you have model one. Model one is you just pray that God sends somebody. And as the missionary, you're here preaching Sunday morning. You're here doing your Bible studies. And then you're serving in the community, right? I use sign language a little bit. So this is serving, like you're balancing your trays. This is studying because you got four eyeballs all looking at the page. Yeah. Four eyeballs staring at the page. And this is preaching. Because it's, I don't know why exactly. Friar. What?
They used to call
preachers friar.
That's when I learned sign language.
Oh, okay. Friar.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. So you can just friar them up. And yeah, I understand, but a friar, a preacher. And so you preach, you can study, and you can serve. And before I completely wear myself out doing the Baptist cardio, really, that does wear you out, doesn't it? That would wear out anybody. And if the pastor's the only one doing it, it does. They burn out. They don't just burn out, they become mechanical. Why? Because now they're sacrificing all that they have to do. They're sacrificing their time with God, walking with him in the garden in the morning. And if they're not walking with him in the morning, how do they expect to walk in the Spirit throughout the day? It doesn't work. How many of you have a smartphone? How many of you have a cell phone? All right. Now, How many of you think your phone would work if you only had it plugged in when you were praying? I'm not asking for a show of hands, mind you. I usually throw that out with young people. If you only plugged this thing in when you were praying and walking with God, would this last you through the day? So how do you expect your spirit to last through the day? That was a freebie. That's neither here nor there. But they sacrifice for the good work, right? But they left their first love, the Bible says. And they become dry, mechanical. They don't get their oil changed. And their engine block burns up. They just leave. Why? Discouraged. They're easy pickings. Real easy pickings. Your spirit can become depressed. You can get bitter. And then bitter leads to resentment. Resentment leads to hatred. And a hatred eventually digs you a hole. And you're sitting there in the country thinking, why am I here with these people? I just want to leave. Get out of here. Take my family and go. That happens. I've talked to some missionaries who have been 2 years in a valley, and they hide Monday through Friday under their desk. They, in the past, now by God's grace, God brought them out of that, and their ministry has blossomed, if I can use that term, and they're doing wonderfully today, but they went through a dark time, and they had to learn to walk with God on a more consistent basis. So, you can do that. That's model one, but as we've already seen, model one leads to inevitable burnout, right? Then you leave, and you're hoping that the Holy Spirit did something with the time that you had. That doesn't work. I don't want the churches that support myself and my wife to have to rely on that for the fruit that will abound to your account in the future, right? I don't want that. So instead, what I'm going to do, and what I've actually prayed about, and I said, Lord, start me off. I wanted 4 young men. And I specifically asked for those of the Fang tribe because they're the most populous, but also because their skills working out in the bush are legendary. If you want a person to lead you through the Congo, you want someone of the Fang tribe because they are the bushmen. They will know where to go, how to go, and how to deal with all the other issues that you're going to run across. So I've said, Lord, if you give me those 4 men, I want to train them up to be able to send them out. Make sense? Because I'm a white man. I will die. Everyone's going to die. But I might die faster if I just jump into the bush. All right? I said, Lord, you give them to me. So I used you this morning. I did not use you, did I? Oh, now I'm going to use you. So you can place your Bible gently on your cover. Yep, very good. You have to get ready? Just stand up and come on here. All right. Now real quick, because it's got to be biblical, right? Who followed Moses out of Egypt? Who was with him crossing the Red Sea? Who was with him going up to the Mount Sinai? Who was with him in the tabernacle? Who was it?
Aaron and God.
Aaron and God, right. But there was someone who followed. Moses is here. There was a man right here that followed him, even up Mount Sinai to a point. And when Moses went into the tabernacle to talk with God, he talked with God face to face. And then when Moses left, this young man even stayed in the tabernacle after Moses left. Who was he? Not Aaron. Joshua. All right, bonus question. Who became the next leader of Israel after Moses died? Joshua. Do you think that was by coincidence? No. Okay. So when Joshua steps into the role of leadership and he begins to march across the Jordan River, right? That's one of the first things he does, and march around Jericho and go into Ai. Who's right here behind Joshua? Not Caleb. Okay, that's a trick question. There was nobody. No one was behind him. What happened when Joshua died? Everyone started doing that. Yeah, well, if leadership doesn't raise more leadership, you fall. So, if I try to do the, even if I've been trained, but I go around and I don't train anybody, when I leave, what's going to happen to them? They're going to go away. But if I bring this young man after he's been saved, he's proven himself faithful, hey, I've got a list. I'm going to give this guy homework. And if I think it gets too easy, I make it harder. Because I need him to be invested. So, you know, I do raise funds to buy Bibles, but when I want you to get a book, you're buying it. I'm not providing it for you. If you buy, if you force them to buy the book, they're going to read it. So, anyway, that's neither here nor there. So when I'm preaching, he's sitting right on the front row, and he's watching how I preach. Right? He's got to be right there. And he's going to follow me to the study, and he's going to watch and see how I study. And then I'm going to tell him, please take your hands out of your pockets. And he's going to watch how I study, right? And we're going to talk before the Bible study. And then after the Bible study, we're going to talk and say, well, how did we do? What things could we have changed? What Bible verses did I use? What verses came into your mind when we talked about the subjects in class? And all these different questions, because I want him to begin to analyze, understand, and evaluate things on a wise level. And then I bring him over here, and this is where I really get him to do it, to serve, right? Because this is not the glamorous part. When you're feeding the homeless people and they get angry at you because they wanted the green Jell-O and not the red Jell-O, I got mad at the homeless people because of that. My first time working in a soup kitchen, and I handed out all the green Jell-O, and I was like, we want the red Jell-O. Excuse me? We would give out Christmas presents to the kids. Don't wrap the Christmas presents. We want to know what you're giving our kids. We want to pick it out ourselves. Excuse me? What? I talked about that, right? You've got to still reach them with the hand of love. Now, sometimes that hand of love comes across as judgment. No, I'm just kidding. But this is where you learn humility. Serving. Because you're not greater than them. As an administrator, you are supposed to be beneath them and lift them up. That is what a minister is supposed to do. Try telling that to the current administration. Now, I'm teasing. So he watches me serve, right? And you're here. Now you got to come and serve right next to me. All right? So now he's here and he's serving with me. I will replace you. Remember, I told him, see, if I get a guy who's hungry, he's going to be doing this. He's going to be doing this before I even pick him. All right? I just need you for the illustration. Please work with me. So he's already here serving, and then he comes back over here to this Bible study, and he's seeing how I do it, and he begins to copy me. There we go. You don't have to be perfect. You see, ooh, he's getting to learn. But, yeah, but you've got to be serving before I use you for the Bible study. So, we come over here, and he watches how I preach and how I prepare, because why I've studied, now I'm preaching the Bible, I'm preaching the Word of God. He's watching how I do that. Why? Because soon he's going to be copying me, right? So as I'm preaching, he's going to be ready to do what? Preach. Over the shoulder. Okay. Over the shoulder. Sign language is very precise. You can't do this. Because that's false. We're not false. We're preachers. False? Preachers. False? Preachers. Okay, so we can remember that, right? Yes, preachers. No, false. Okay? Preachers. All right? So we preach. He's going to learn how to do that. We come over here to the Bible study. And what's he able to do? Oh, that's right. You're left-handed.
No.
So he's coming over here and he's serving, right? Yeah, we get the general idea. So he's beginning to do this. So then when I say, hey, I'm going to be busy on next Sunday. I need you to go preach for me. He's going to go and Preach, right. So he's preaching, right? And I get this young man, I say, hey, don't get him. I want you to go over here and start serving. Go serve some, yeah, serve some jello. So he's over here and he's serving. And he is living it up. Why? Because God's not called him to be a preacher. But he can be a server. He can just have grandest time, and he's getting the greatest joy in all the world. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will give you joy when you serve him. You don't have to have the pulpit position to get glory. Or not get glory, that's the wrong word. To get joy. You can serve and get joy. There's a lot of people who just hate public speaking, but you give them a position where they wash the windows, clean the church, and man, they just get joy out of it. And he's over here, now, okay, now do the Bible study, because I can't have them replace me with you. Right? You know, you can't have the youth pastor usurp the pastor at any given point. So I'm over here preaching. He's over there studying. He's over there serving. He's checking it out on his Facebook page. And, hey, that's a lot of burden off of me, isn't it? Now, there is one major point that I missed. Both you gentlemen, come here. Come here. I can get them to serve, preach, and to study. But if I don't have them sit down and watch me pray, how are they going to learn to pray? They need to be spending hours with me doing nothing but watching how I pray. Because let's be honest, until you go and you watch someone who walks with God, walk with God, how are you going to know how to do it? That's right. You won't know. So he needs to sit down and watch how I walk with God, how I pray, how I commune with him, because that's how he's going to learn. This I speak even from my own example. This year alone, I've had over 14 hours of nothing but just sitting and watching my mentor pray to God. Now he, to be completely honest, he'll sit there and he'll pray for 2 hours at a time. And I just watch. How do you do this? How does he do it? What do you do? He goes through the hymns. He prays through scripture. He just lays his whole heart out before God. He'll lay requests out. It's amazing. Sometimes he'll just pour his whole heart out before God, and God will give him an answer for the problem at hand while he's praying. Because God's going to bring scripture to his mind. He's going to bring experiences back to his mind. Because you're walking with God. God's going to talk back to you. It just might not be in a, you know, speaker microphone voice over the intercom. The Spirit of God lives inside every born-again believer and can bring all things back to remembrance. He can use you. So if you're serving and you're preaching, but I never teach you how to pray, this will still fail. But when I train them and I tell them, you go find a man and you go find a man and teach them how to serve, what are they going to do? They're going to go find other people. And you guys can sit down. In closing, let's look at 2 Timothy. Pastor put me between the songs and the food. It's a dangerous position to put me between the people and the food. Mm-hmm. Which is why I've not said anything until now. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, speaking to Timothy, Paul is speaking to Timothy here, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What Paul is saying is, hey, Timothy, those things which you've seen and you've heard of me, where we've walked in the way together, as we've traveled together, as we've served together, those things I need you to now go and find a faithful man and teach him. Because he's going to have to teach others also. That makes sense? You say, why are we here today? Because Jesus spent 3.5 years with 12 men. Were there women that followed him? Absolutely. Susanna, Mary Magdalene, some of these ladies had their lives completely changed. But he chose the men. He says, you men need to go and now make disciples. And the reason that we are all here today is because they fulfilled that commission. We need to be in the same footsteps making more disciples. So how do I get the ministry to continue after I'm gone? I've got to be making disciples right now. Clear as mud? So, purpose of missions, what did Christ die for? The relationship with God, right? How do we do this? We come in, we humble ourselves, we work with them, build the relationships, and then we disciple them as Christ told us to disciple, teaching them all things whatsoever He has commanded us. Because that's how your ministry is going to continue. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the food that's been prepared downstairs. We thank You for the wonderful freedoms that we have experienced in this great country. Lord, as we look at those around the world who don't have the things that we do, but Lord, we need to get them the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they may know You, they may walk with You. And then as we go, we train them up and we teach them not just to build a church. A church is a nice byproduct. A Bible college is a nice byproduct. We teach them to walk with You and grow and to serve with You. And then as we leave the field, we'll leave leaders behind who will be able to lead people to You and serve You in other capacities that we ourselves could never do. As children grow out of their parents' homes and enter into the workforce and do things their parents could never do. So this is how we treat our spiritual children, that we train them up in the ways of knowledge of God and that You use them for Your honor, for Your glory. Lord, we ask now that You use this time, be with these people here as they serve You here in the Alaska region. Use them for Your honor and glory, that Your name would be magnified through everything that's said and done. We ask these things in Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior's name. Amen.
Our hymn tonight is 304, Nothing Between. Find that, we'll stand. As we had this same verse this thought last Sunday night about the end goal is that person's got to be trained. I saw Pastor Roach at lunch today. I run into Pastor Roach a lot at lunch. But I look at Pastor Roach, and they start this church in Anchorage, and who's there now? Brother McGovern, right? Somebody that was trained. Somebody went there and trained. Who even went to the mission field, came back, but he's been a trained person. And then he can sleep at night knowing that, hey, somebody's been trained. We have Brother Gray here a couple years ago for conference. How come he got to come home? Because he left somebody there that was trained. And that, you know, that's the easy question. It's like, well, how do I know when to leave to go to the next place? Is anybody trained? Well, and he mentioned 20 years. I talked to Brother Compton. That's hard. So Brother Compton, who we got? You know, and he's like, Brother, nobody. How long you been here, Brother Compton? So 25 years. It's a hard work. I mean, year 26 might be the breakthrough, year 27, or what? But you just got to be determined. This is what we're trying to do. This is what we're, and you can't change it. Right? Would it be easy? Well, we can't get any man. We'll just raise up a woman preacher, and we'll be done with this thing. Right? No, can't do that. Right? Keep at it. God wants it to last. He wants it to continue. Now, listen. If you go somewhere and say, I'm going to build it, it's going to be the Keith Gunner Baptist Church, and it's going to, God's like, all right. 10 years down the road, nothing happens. They come crashing down. Lord said, yeah, because it wasn't built on Me. Not My fault. You didn't do it our way. You didn't do it My way. You didn't train somebody. That's a good question. Who's behind Joshua, right? I'm just sitting there thinking, what a mess. You read the book of Judges, and it's just like, man, I think we should, before that Moses, like God said, we're going this way. Let's sing tonight. Nothing Between. 304, Nothing Between.